Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Listen, man, the constitution of the church. Of course, we don't call it the constitution of the church, but if you understand the word constitution, that means what you're made up of. And so we are made up of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. The very first thing that he spoke as he began his ministry is what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically just stopped on a mountain and just began to teach. And he began to say what God wanted communicated to us for years, because he said nothing unless he heard the Father say it. And so this is the creator of the universe communicating to us through his Son. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And he's talking to us, and we're, you know, all the things we've been talking about and others have been talking about as Christians about leaving the Constitution of America. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, let's just put that on the back burner for a moment. We left the Constitution of the church. Mm. And it is an amazing, just the revelation and the almost like a covering's being lifted off of the Constitution of the church, the words of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
And some people are like, I don't want to hear about that. That's Jesus, dude. You know, you want to hear about what? And somebody says, well, you just need to preach in the Gospels. And it's like, if we preach in the Gospels, you'd be really surprised. I mean, he says stuff like, I don't know, gouge your eye out if it offends you. Right?
That's right. That's what he said.
And, but, I mean, he's talking right here about how he sees, how God sees hatred. And that he's the opposite of hatred. He's love. God is love. Mm-hmm. And he loves us so much that he gave his Son, Jesus, to pay the price for us so that we can deal with sin, including hatred, at the cross, and ask God to forgive us and begin to allow love himself to come into our hearts and begin to love people. He empowers us to love others. And he remedies the sin situation at the cross if we go there. And he starts talking about it in Matthew chapter 5. He starts talking about how he just starts talking about murder. Mm-hmm. It's like, where is this going? You know, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 26, you know, Jesus clearly says, anyone who is angry with his brother is subject of judgment. But right prior to that, he's talking about murders. You know, a murderer. I'm like, why would you even talk about murder? I mean, think about God. Mm-hmm. Of all the things he could talk about, the first things he talked about was murder. And I'm talking, listen, first of all, I'm talking about your soul, right?
Yeah.
We want you to know Jesus. We want you not to be in relationship with religion, but be in relationship with love, which is Jesus. And secondly, if you really want a third grade awakening, if you really want to see a powerful move of God, not just somebody working their gift that may end up on the last day saying many people will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not use our gifts? And he'll say, I never knew you. See, if you don't move in love, you don't move in God. You may have your gift, but it doesn't mean anything. People can get saved by it, you using your gift. You can preach a Jesus you don't even know, and they can believe what you don't believe, and they can be saved because there's power in the name of Jesus, and gifts are without repentance. But he says in 21, he says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject of judgment. It's like, wow. I mean, we went straight from, you know, our righteousness has to be greater than that of the Pharisees, which you just talked about, if we want to enter the kingdom of God. And now he's talking about murder.
Mm-hmm. Pretty serious.
I mean, you picture the courtroom scene with that where, you know, he's saying, you know, you're on trial for murder. And of course, the judge is God. And if you don't understand it, you won't have the advocate, which is Jesus. And if we didn't forgive, then we didn't exercise our right to this advocate, this attorney, if you would, or this advocate before God, which God established, which is Jesus. I don't need an attorney. I'm going to defend myself. They say a person who defends himself has a fool for a client. And you can't defend yourself because we've all fallen. Mm-hmm. And so... So understand that's the scene that he's painting before he begins to talk about hatred and anger. And then he goes on to say, he says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Okay. He first painted the picture of the sin of murder and the crime of murder and judgment for murder. And then he says, but I tell you, and he starts raising the consequences for some, what many probably thought and still think is not that serious of a charge.
Mm-hmm.
And he compares anger with murder. And he's saying, listen, not only basically will murder be judged, but anger will be judged on the level of murder.
Yeah.
Does that make you angry? That's why the enemy tries so hard to offend you. But if you choose to love instead of be angry and hate, then you are truly a son of God. You're walking out what Jesus walked out. You know, I'm personally not asking for any more. And you don't really want to ask for any more. But there's a lot of things that come our way that give us a plenty of opportunity to go, well, that if I needed somebody to hate, that would be definitely somebody would fit the bill. But I'm going to choose to love that person instead.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
And Jesus set the example for us. He set the example by telling us, showing us, you know, WWJD, people wearing those armbands, right? WWJD. Well, I'll tell you what WWJD means. For people up north, that's WWJD. And which means, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, this is what he did. He didn't defend himself. He didn't defend himself. I mean, how many times do we fall prey to wanting to defend ourselves? Pat, do you need to talk about anything? Okay, you're getting defensive. Right. No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
I'm good.
His head's kind of jerking to the right now.
A little bit.
And but Jesus is perfect now. He's the Son of God. He did nothing wrong. He had no sin in him at all. But yet they called him Satan. They accused him of everything. They beat him, blindfolded him, pressed a thorn of crowns on his head, and crucified him. And he said this. He said, hold not this sin against them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As he was giving them the breath to breathe, as they were shouting these curses out, and the strength to be able to hold the hammer that drove the nail that he held the carbon bond to the nail to hold it together so it could go through his hand, which he was holding together, because he just trusted himself to him who judges justly. He was loving God. Mm-hmm. He was loving God. He was loving God. And we say, how do we love God? Greater love hath no man than he lay down his own desires, his own life. He's willing to go second. Are you willing to be second? You're willing to take less. You're willing to see someone else get the raise in the office.
All right.
You're willing to say, well, you know, marriage is not for me. I'm going to be single. I'm not going to envy those that are married. I'm going to be like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 7. It's better not to be. And if I was anyway, I had to live like I'm not. I'm just going to. I'm just going to love God and I'm going to love others. And then he tells us very specifically, and we're going to make this available to you on VFN TV in its entirety. It's called Murderer. Love is not an option. You can see that on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. In the menu in the top, you'll see VFN TV, and you can watch it there. It should be made available soon. Then they have a couple things to do to it beforehand. And the context of that is understanding that Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Not hate. Love. People say, people take the word hate because it's not politically correct. We push it aside. Although a lot of people are exercising it today more than I've actually seen in my lifetime. You know, I have seen historically where people use, I mean, you can watch footage of people in America hating. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, dang, that was like, are you serious? You're hating your brother like that? I mean, it was imagined that it's just the devil.
Yeah.
Got a hold of people. And, but there are haters. There's plenty of haters. And so with that, He says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. By this, all people will know you're my disciple, which means this. He says, and then he says, you must love one another. That's just not a good idea. That's a God expectation of us. It's love. The love that he's talking about here is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence that we're a believer. Oh, I guess I got to love. No, this is what I mean. This is what I'm saying, is that if love himself dwells inside of you, then love comes out of you.
Right.
Which means God's in you. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? So you can think you know Jesus and be hateful and say, you don't know him.
Right.
Because if you knew him and he knew you, then he would dwell, he'd be dwelling in you, and he would just come out of you. Not that you're gonna be perfect or anything, but hey, you're gonna love. If you do wrong, you're gonna be convicted because the Holy Spirit's inside of you going, that ain't right, go make it right. And he said, this is the greatest witness. This lets people know that you're mine. Why? What? When we act like him. When we act like Jesus. I remember somebody once said, what?
It's prophetic.
Act like it.
Act like it. That could be self-applicable, couldn't it?
Yeah,
definitely.
I love Jesus. Act like it. And the thing about it, you can't. This is not about works. Now, if you're listening, if you go watch, you know, Murderer, Love's Not an Option on VFN TV, this has nothing to do with works. It has to do with inviting love into your heart, inviting God into your heart through his son, Jesus Christ. And then love dwells inside of you, and he will empower you. This love of God will empower you to show forth who he is. The more you surrender of yourself over to love, the more love you're going to. Love is patient. It endures hardship, delays, and all that without complaining. Mm-hmm. Love is kind. Excuse me, can I get that for you? Would you like some water? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle.
Not rude.
Let's hang on gentle for a moment. Love is... and that was very ungentle, wasn't it? No. Love is gentle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
What I hear.
Well, I mean, love is not a wishy-washy, you know. I mean, Jesus was and is love, and he was no pushover. You got this, you got to, like what Peter Wagner's talking about. He says, what happened to the worship that used to be, you know, aggressive? You know, and there is times for places for all forms of worship, but if all we sing is lovey dovey, ooey gooey, ooshy gooshy, it's like, first of all, we're feminizing the masculinity in the body of Christ. Secondly, who's going to do the work?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to do work, you know? And, but in the context of that, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, you know, love is patient. Love is kind. Can I get that for you? Can I do something for you? I mean, think about it. If you want to love today, it's not that complicated. Don't go give somebody a hug. Just be kind to them.
Put yourself out.
Yeah, put yourself out. I guess that's an ungentle way to put it. That was impatient, wasn't it? You're putting myself out of my schedule. No, I'm just playing. You know I'm playing around. You know I'm playing around.
Check
love
the forehead.
Love, yeah, I know. You're right. Oh, I see. Whoa. Denver. No, that would be Jersey.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
Okay, moving on.
Love.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't envy. And so think about it. What is envy? Envy is wanting what someone else has. I want that thing. I should have had that raise. I should have had that car. It's like, do you really spend all your time in your day just looking and envying what other people have? All the stuff that you have. If you live in America, which is only, it's less than 5% of the world's population now. All Americans stacked up, packed up, put together in a package, and we're less than 5%. The poorest person in America is more blessed, is richer, than 80% of the population of the world. And you're envying somebody else's stuff?
Yeah. Amazing.
You got to know Jesus. You need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, the love of your life. But love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. If I hear one more thing about you, did I ever tell you about my life? Yeah, you did. Remember 7 times ago? It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not proud, right? And pride is, and we're going to hear an interview in a moment from Dr. Ben Carson. He's talking about, he thought he had rights before he was saved, and he was always angry and in a fight. And the reason why, if you're always angry and in a fight and got hatred in your heart, is because you're proud. You got pride in your life. And you need to repent. You need to make Jesus Christ the love, the Lord of your life. You need to return to the first love if you left him. You need to turn back to him. It's not rude. Love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. I mean, that's a huge thing, being self-seeking. You just lay down your life. It doesn't make any sense to the majority. Obviously, all the world doesn't make sense. And a lot of the folks that call themselves believers, it don't make sense. They're like, I got to get mine. We just want to get what? You're in a room full of believers. Just settle down and blend in.
All right.
You know? What about mine? Oh, my goodness. It's not easily angered. It's not easily angered. And that's important, isn't it?
Very yeah. Important.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say it's not anger, but it's just not easily angered. It keeps, and if we do get angry, the sun doesn't go down on our anger because the devil will get a foothold. And next thing you know, we'll have hatred in our heart. It keeps no records of wrongs, no databases of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. So it's not like, hey, that's great. That's wonderful that bad things happen to someone. No, we don't do that. You don't. That's not what you do. Who are we to do that? But it rejoices with the truth. If I hear you preach one more time, if you bring the word up one more time, Jesus, 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 Jesus in the morning, Jesus at lunchtime, Jesus at supper time. Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Is there any, he's the love of my life. He's It always protects. Love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love never fails. Jesus tells us right here very specifically, and you can find out more about it, that love is not an option. It is not a fruit of the Spirit he's talking about here. It's evidence that you actually have the Spirit of love inside of you. And he tells us, if you say that you love God but hate your brother, he says the whole religious experience you're talking about, even if you have the gifts he talks about in Matthew chapter 7, it's all a lie and he doesn't know you. Listen, he says, put your gift at the altar. If you remember that you've sinned against someone, you've done evil towards someone, you remember that your brother has something against you, in other words, you did them wrong, put your gift down. Don't prophesy one more time. Don't talk about what you're given one more time. Don't sing one more song. Just go make things right and then come back and sing. Then come back and prophesy. Then come back and function. Of all the things he's talking about murder. He compares hatred with murder. He puts it on the same level of judgment. Of course, God will forgive murder. But if you don't repent of murder, of the sin, you won't confess that I have murdered. God, forgive me. I've committed the sin of murder. I've killed someone, murdered someone. And he'll forgive you. But he puts on the same level ground as murder, anger and hatred towards your brother. Right?
Oh, yeah, he does.
It's like, I'm so glad that we have more life than sin, because now, you know, we can say, hey, the Pharisees didn't mention this.
All right.
And now the teachers of the law, you're starting to hear, hey, this is important. And so just like he'll forgive us of all sin that we deal with and confess, he'll forgive us of the sin of hatred. But what he openly says here in the Sermon on the Mount, which is what the Creator of the universe is telling us through his Son, and you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, is lightness, the light of the gospel is not in you if you hate. Listen, let me tell you something. I got good news for you. You've been rocking around all ticked off and angry at everybody, and you've been trying to do this religious thing, and you can't figure it out, and you're getting angrier and angrier and more hateful and more hateful. And you're thinking, how is it working for everybody else? Everybody else, like, see, what they did was they made Jesus the Lord of their life. They laid down their whole life at the cross of Christ and just said, God, here I am. I'm yours. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I have sinned. I have fallen short. Your way is right. Let every man be a liar and you be the truth, God. I'm gonna become your disciple, Jesus. You're right. I'm just going to follow your way. And then what happens when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, he comes and dwells in our hearts. And he is love, so love dwells inside of that man or woman. And so what you were seeing when you began to envy that person who was walking in love, that wasn't their love. That was God in them coming out of them. They were leaking God. They were leaking God. God was just permeating their life and progressively walking them on a journey that made his love more and more prominent in their life. And you looked at that and you said, you know, I want that. And the thing about it is, I think about Simon said that. And Simon saw what was going on in Paul's life. When you read about it in the book of Acts, he saw what was going on. And he was this town magical dude, you know, a soothsayer. And he was moving all these spiritual type things. And he thought, well, that's a good bag of tricks. I want that. That looks good. That looks good. And so he turns to Paul. And he says, if I give you an offering, will you give that to me? Will you lay hands on me? You know, he's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And Paul's like, what have you done? You think you can buy this? What did he do to him? We're talking about Eli. We're talking about Eli here. We're talking about Eli too.
Right.
But with Eli doing that as well, Eli went blind. But Simon, he's like, you know, please get this thing off of me. I'm sorry. You know, as you begin to just deal with him and rebuke him, you know, even to the point, he's like, put him in a whole nother category of going like, I don't even know if God should ever forgive you for what you just did. Mm-hmm. And think about what's going on today. It's just like, this is not good. You don't approach God that way. You approach God like the man that Jesus described that got on his knees and beat his chest and said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, like Isaiah. I've sinned, I've fallen short. Listen, God already knows this. Mm-hmm. He's wanting to know if you know this. And then you make Jesus the Lord of your life, which means he's the ruler of your life. You just want to know everything about him because you love him and you're thankful for him forgiving you and bringing you into the family of God, where you're able to approach God with boldness because of his finished work on the cross of Christ. And you're like, this is a relationship. And see, what you've been struggling with and your frustration is you haven't yet made Jesus the Lord of your life. You just like what you saw, but you tried to approach it the wrong way. Don't beat yourself up because that'd be the same mindset. Just humble yourself. Say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you in my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I just want to love you and receive your love. I want to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. You see, it makes me think about Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were the first two children born on earth from Adam and Eve. They were the sons of Adam and Eve who were in the garden prior to them, the fall of man, and then they were out of the garden. But they had two sons. One was named Cain and one was named Abel. Both of them put a sacrifice before the Lord. One of them did a blood sacrifice with an animal, and one of them did a grain sacrifice. And God accepted the blood sacrifice of Abel, but did not receive the sacrifice of Cain. Now, listen, neither one of these guys really knew what was going on. God was, you know, in the context of Jesus and the blood sacrifice. And so often people, you know, the enemy starts attacking people and say, well, God, you know, God must not have loved me. You know, I did all this kind of stuff. No, just we can learn from what's going on. So Cain became jealous of Abel. Cain was walking around all sad, all downcast. I mean, his face was so long he could eat oats from a tailpipe. You know what I'm saying? I'm assuming, but I have seen the Cain face before. Mm-hmm. Face of Cain, face of Cain, face of Cain. So he's walking around all depressed and stuff. He's punished, says, oh, you know, Jim got that raise and I didn't. No, I'm sorry. We're talking about Cain and Abel, not you. And so he was just all depressed and stuff. And so, but he was depressed and sad and downcast because he was filled with hatred towards his brother and possibly even God. And he was hateful and angry and bitter and resentful. And so God shows up and he talks. I mean, think about God speaking to Cain. And he says, Cain, look at me. And so many people today see people all sad and downcast and, you know, having to do whatever they can do to just get through the depression. And the mindset is suddenly to start feeling sorry for someone. Like, oh, you're just sad. It's like sad. But if you ask them, like, yeah, I'm just sad. I'm filled with hate, bitterness, and resentment. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, just because somebody's downcast and depressed does not mean they're righteous. They could be suffering the consequences of having hatred in their heart towards their brother. So God doesn't go, hey, let's just lay you on the couch right here and let's discuss all why everybody's your fault. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So tell me, why was your great-grandfather's like, what are you doing? Anyway, so talking about therapy. God says this to Cain. God said, sin is crouching at your door and it's going to devour you, Cain. Why don't you just do what's right? And people try to spiritualize things like, just do what's right. You got to give up all those perceived idolatrous self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. And you've got to just give it to God. And he says, at that point, God was interceding between two brothers, between Cain and Abel. And Cain could have said, you're right, God. You created everything, you know, a couple hours ago, the earth I'm standing on, my mom and dad, you know, and they had us. We're like the first ones. I'm going to think about this. And then he could have just said, I'm sorry, Abel. I had hatred in my heart. This is wrong before God. You know, forgive me, God. And, but instead he chose to hate his brother, Abel. And he had him go out in the field. He met him out there and he killed him. He killed Abel. Killed him. Mm. And you think, how tragic is that? But remember, getting back to what I was saying in the beginning, Jesus' word in the Sermon on the Mount, the constitution of the church, he said, if you do hate, it is in the same level of murder and you have to be dealt with like the same as murder. So it has to be confessed and dealt with. Why don't you just do what's right? He said this. He says, don't take the way of Cain. In the New Covenant, by the way, in the New Testament, he says, don't take the way of Cain. Listen, church, don't take the way of Cain. Mm. Don't take the way of Cain. Many things are going to happen. Many injustices are going to happen. But God has demonstrated to us through his son how we're to handle those injustices. Listen, we can entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. These are our opportunities, and we're not asking for more. But the ones that do come our way are Father filtered, and we can trust God. I'm going to love you through this. And I'm going to love this person or this situation, whatever, through this whole situation. You may have to ask yourself continually, what meanest thou this? What's going on? And that's disassociate your heart from what's actually happened in the context. Don't let your heart become offended over the situation. Realize that what demonstrates that you are a son or a daughter of God is that God's inside of you, living inside of you, his spirit's inside of you, and that you love. You love your brother. You love your sister. It's our love for each other that will cause all men, he said, all men, think about it, everybody on the face of the earth, when they just see us love each other. That's why you got to be very, very careful. And well, I'm just going to go there real quick, like, because we've got our break and we're going to go on to Dr. Carson, is, listen, you call yourself an intercessor and you are praying against the body of Christ. You are calling down bad things on the body of Christ, on your brother or sister, by the way, whose father is God. You're actually thinking that God is going to accept that? Yeah, you're an intercessor, all right? You're an intercessor of the devil. That's what he says. He says, these guys are held captive by the evil one. the ones that hate. Oh, by the way, hate is a very non, it's not a politically correct word, so people don't necessarily use that word. They just use the definition of the word is extremely aversion, have extreme aversion to.
I dislike intently.
To dislike intently. Here's the definition of hate, and we'll move on. And you can see this whole teaching. I'm just having a conversation about it, but you got a precept upon precept on VFN TV. You go to VFNTV.com and not the radio, but VFN TV, and you can see this teaching. But this is the definition of hate. This may shock you. You may be shocked. Oh my goodness. I've been hating on some folks. The definition of hate is, a definition of hate is to dislike intensely. I don't hate them. I just really don't like them. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with me saying I don't like people. Yes, there is. It's called hate.
That's right.
Hater, right? To dislike intensely or passionately, which means you're going to have to start caring about Tony Romo. Well, look at that. Did you see that? Strong aversion to that? Did you see that?
I felt it.
Did you say that? He almost fell out of his seat.
I like him.
Right. High frequency. I like him. I guess he is a believer. To dislike intensely or passionately, to feel extreme aversion for or extreme hostility towards. I was pulling up once at a particular place, like a marketplace. And this particular,
not that one.
This particular minister, who obviously is struggling in this area, is you know, I was on the this particular left side of the parking lot, on the right side, and his whole head was turned far right, and he walked forward while his head was turned over his right shoulder the whole time, walking all the way across the parking lot. Like, that's called strong aversion to.
right.
Bless his heart, Lord, help him. And that's called hatred. That's called hatred. And he says, listen, you're walking in darkness. He says, our minds are blinded by hate, by the God of this world when we do those kind of things. The definition is to be unwilling, to dislike, to feel intense dislike or extreme aversion or hostility towards. The words that mean the opposite of that, of hate, is liking, loving, and love. So you can't hate and love at the same time. So he's talking about here is we're going to talk about what to do with the ones who've done nothing wrong to, but yet they're like, Jesus had haters, mm-hmm. but he did nothing wrong to them. This is very important because this is a trap if you don't deal properly with this. WWJD. When Jesus is telling us about don't hate, you know, it's the same as murder, is same as the sin of murder when it comes to judging, judgment seat. He says, when you are offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you. This is so important because, you know, Jesus had haters. Jesus never did hate, but Jesus, he had haters. These are people that just hated him. When you think about it, that it's important to look at Jesus's life, WWJD, and his ministry, for he walked perfectly as the light and there was no darkness in him. Yet he had conflict with many who had things against him mm-hmm. in their heart. He did nothing. He did nothing to them, but yet because of their own sin, the religious were offended by his ministry, his message, and his very existence. Just got people mad at you don't mean you're wrong.
Right.
You could be right. You know, don't change your message. First find out, you know, what's God's doing. I mean, the religious folks ain't going to be happy with you when you're the people who don't. I'm talking about not the church here. I'm talking about religion. Mm-hmm. Did Jesus spend one moment trying to satisfy these folks? Did he stop his ministry to go to them and see how he could just make them feel a little bit better? Oh, baby, what's wrong? Are you okay? You're all right. Let me just stop the will of God.
Yeah, right.
So I can go feel this evil that you have, you know, respond to it. And he says, if you obey anyone, including family, over him, if you love them more than you love me, you can have no part of it. That's what he's talking about. And he said, think about this. Did it have any effects on him in his ministry? Did it affect his ministry towards others? Well, he continually ministered toward others. His ability to hear from God, his Father, did it affect that? The fact that people were hating on him and having conflicts with him? Nope. Did it hold him back? No. Did these haters and these people who was in conflict with him, did God just prevent God from accepting his ministry? No. Mm-hmm. So realize that person's held captive. And if you fall to that and think, you know, and this is what religion does, well, you got to go make that person happy. That person's got evil in their heart and they're held captive by the adversary. And the hate that's coming out of them shows that they're held by darkness. And he says, there, if you're offering your gift and you remember that your brother has something against you, in other words, you've done evil towards that brother, then you should have made that right, but you need to make that right. You put down your prophetic gift, put down your financial gift, and go make it right. Just say, hey, I wronged you. If they forgive you, that's great. And then he says, be reconciled. Reconciled just means make it easy to have a relationship with that person. Take down all those barriers that were there by making it easy for them to be in relationship with you. God wants his children to get along. And if we allow the enemy to put hate in our heart, not only does it divide his family, but it divides us personally from the family of God, blinds our mind, and we become a slave of Satan, a minister of darkness. Mm-hmm. Instead of light, and we have to deal with that sin, and we can deal with it. But I just want to encourage you, remember what he's talking about here. He says, if you've done something to your brother, you need to make it right. At also, just to say, as we're closing here, is, but you should make every opportunity to keep the unity in the faith. If, in fact, someone comes to their senses, as someone is making the right approach towards God, don't miss the opportunity just because they were kind of, you know, out there for quite some time. You know, make an opportunity to be united in the body of Christ, because we want to keep unity in the Spirit in Christ. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.